This is Sound Ideas. I'm Charlie Schlenker. The November election is 7 weeks away. As part of GLT's public service, we're hosting a series of candidate forums. This is the first for McLean County Board Districts 4, 5, and 7, including most of the town of Normal, some rural areas to the north, and parts of the near east side and east side of Bloomington. Joining us at the Center for Visual Arts on the campus of Illinois State University are District 4 candidates, Republican Mark Johnson, the incumbent, and Democrat Logan Smith. GLT attempted to contact Libertarian candidate Alexandra Engel and was unsuccessful in those pursuits. The candidates for District 5 are incumbent Republican David Selzer and Democrat Elizabeth Johnston. And in District 87, we have Republican incumbent Ryan Scritchlow and Democrat Sharon Chung. Also joining us for this live broadcast is our audience. Please welcome our candidates. Thanks to everyone for attending this forum. This forum features questions developed by GLT News with input from those submitted at WGLT.org. There will also be time for opening and closing statements. This forum is co-sponsored by the McLean County League of Women Voters. The League's Diana Hauman and Phyllis Versteeg are serving as our timekeepers. We determined the order of speakers by drawing numbers from the first two candidates to arrive, with the lowest number going first, and after that, alternating among candidates. We will ask as many questions as time permits during this one-hour forum. As moderator, I will call on candidates to make clarifying comments on occasion and pose follow-up questions as needed. That brings us to our opening statement by Logan Smith.
My name is Logan Smith. I'm 19 years old, and I'm running for the McLean County Board as a Democrat in District 4. I believe that I can bring a youth's perspective to the county board. Oftentimes in government, I do believe that youth are completely underrepresented in all levels of government. And I do believe that I can bring that youth voice and youth experience to the McLean County Board.
And now Mark Johnson.
Good evening. Glad that everyone can make it here this evening. I wish this auditorium, though, was packed with standing room only, because we're going to be talking this evening about important issues about the quality of life that McLean County faces as we look to increase private business that we need to bring into the area. We look to continue the success that we've had over the last year in lowering tax rates and being able to provide services by hiring people back on at the county level. Myself personally, I commend Logan for stepping up and wanting to be involved in politics. I myself started a teenage Republican group in 1987 at Normal Community High School. I then went on to help found two other clubs at Bloomington High School and University High School. At one time, we had over 100 teenagers in McLean County involved with all kinds of political races, from city council to county board to Congress to the governor. And so in the future, I think that we do need to encourage. And of course, the League of Women Voters, I think, can be instrumental in allowing for getting more young people involved in politics. I've been on the board for 4 years. I come from the exact area that I live in, is the area that my father had a family business up on Rab Road that many of you might have remembered. It was So Convenient, or Convenient Food Mart. I served the public there off and on for 21 years, looking over the counter into the eyes of voters and listening to their concerns. And I learned a lot working at my father's business. And I continue to take that philosophy today. I would rather talk to someone face-to-face than by text or email. And I think our civic conversation would be much improved if we could have more events like this and more people would be out on their front porch and be able to answer the door when I knock on it. So I hope to talk to more voters in the 4th District as I campaign for re-election, and I appreciate all of you here, and thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Ryan Scritchlow of District 7, you're up next. 2 minutes, please.
Thank you very much for having me. Thank you all for coming. Thank you very much for all of you that are watching on Facebook or listening to the radio. My name is Ryan Scritchlow. For those of you who don't know much about me, I was born here. For those of you who've been around a long time, I was born at Brokaw. My wife Carrie's from Pontiac. She was a Unit 5 teacher. We were blessed with the opportunity for her to stay at home this year and watch our three kids. Nolan's 5, Jeffrey's 3, and Hannah's 1. I've owned and operated a landscaping and hydro seeding company here in town for the last 16 years. 3.5 years ago, I bought a slabjacking business and stuck my name on it. A year ago, I was appointed to the county board to Rich Buchanan's seat, and it has been an adventure that brought me in front of you here today. Before that, I served 5 years on the Bloomington Planning Commission, where I left as the vice chair. I currently serve on the Children's Protection Network Board, Habitat for Humanities Board, and the U-High Alumni Association. A couple things about me politically. I don't have three-point plans, some issue that I'm wanting to address or an agenda. I take the issues that come before me, and I try to make the best possible decision I can for the McLean County residents. This is a way for me to give back to this community that has given me so much. I've really got a heart for this county. Win or lose, I'll continue to be involved and give back to this community that has given me so much. And I hope after this evening, I'll have earned your vote for McLean County Board. Thank you.
Also in District 7 is Sharon Chung.
Thank you, Charlie, and thank you to the League of Women Voters of McLean County and WGLT Radio for hosting this event tonight. Local elections truly do matter, and I appreciate the commitment your organizations have to voter engagement and advocacy. For those of you here in the audience and those listening at home, good evening. My name is Sharon Chung, and I'm running for McLean County Board, District 7. I'm a mother, a musician, and an educator, and I believe that it is with this particular combinations of abilities and traits that I bring a unique voice to the county board. I fell in love with Bloomington when I attended college here, and then I decided to move back a number of years ago because this is where my husband and I wanted to raise our family. Our girls are now 6 and 3, and I enjoy a rich and varied musical performing career and run a successful private music studio. But now that my daughters are a bit older, I want to get more involved in our community and to see what I can do to make an impact in it. So I'm running for my daughters and the future of our county because I see a population that is aging, kids moving away for college and not coming back, and people feeling like their voices don't matter to the people who are in power. But what I also see is a motivated, talented, and able workforce, two world-class four-year higher learning institutions, and a group of first-time candidates who are energized and excited to help our county for the better. Mothers all around the country are stepping up to run for office for the first time, and I'm proud to be doing that right here in McLean County. The voice of the working mother and the teacher has been historically underrepresented in government, and I hope to bring my experience and my values to the table. Thank you.
David Selzer is an incumbent county board member. Your turn, sir.
Thank you. My name is Dave Selzer. My wife and I have lived here since 1985. We have 4 adult children who all went away to college and moved back here to raise their families. We have 3 grandchildren, and by next week we'll have 5. So we're very excited about the changes that are happening. You know, during elections, you hear a lot of rhetoric from every angle it comes from, every direction. And for county government, we're pretty simple. We're agents of the state. We have some really simple things that the state has asked us to take care of: public safety, criminal justice, the roads we drive on, our transportation department, our health department. So as Ryan said, and I think he said it very well, issues are brought before us that fit into those categories, and we make those decisions based on what's happening today. Decisions were made about our nursing home 10 years ago that we could never make today because the nursing home financials were written with black ink then. Today they're written with red ink, but there's a plan to get it back to black. So those issues change every day, and we deal with them every day. We have some of the best changes have come out of that adversity. Our Behavioral Health Coordinating Council, so that we actually have an incredible mental health program and behavioral health program in this community. So I'm proud to be in this community. I'm very proud to represent this district, and I'm looking forward to the questions that we receive tonight. Thank you very much.
And the final candidate to give opening statements is Elizabeth Johnston, who is the opponent of David Selzer.
Hi, my name is Elizabeth Johnston. Thank you guys for being here. I want to thank GLT and the League of Women Voters for giving us the opportunity to reach out to voters across the district and across the county. I got involved in politics. We moved here a few years ago. My husband and I chose Normal. We wanted to raise our family here. We love the community, all the opportunities that are available to us. After moving here, we started seeing some of the partisanship, some of the bickering happening at the state, and how it has come down and affected the county. And rather than sit at home and worry about what's going to happen or complain about what's going to happen, I thought it's time to get involved. So my background is I am a social worker, and I want to bring that level of collaboration, the problem-solving focus. As a parent, as a resident, I want to make sure that county government is responsible and is accountable to the residents. I feel that county government is one of the most overlooked. As I've been out meeting voters, 90 to 95% couldn't tell me who their rep was, what district they live in, what the county board does. And so it has been a labor of love for me to make sure that they understand what issues are coming forward and how they can participate. And I also want to make sure that we're fighting for the community. A lot of this is about preserving what we have, the values of the community, and I want to make sure that we are building on that and creating a sustainable future. Thank you.
Thank you, candidates. Ideas for questions for tonight's forum were submitted at WGLT.org. Each candidate will get 60 seconds to answer the question. You're listening to a special Sound Ideas and a McLean County Candidates Forum live from ISU's Center for the Visual Arts. Question one is, every time there is a discussion about taxes, there's a call to root out government waste first. What do you think about the efficiency of county government? And we're going to start with Mark Johnston. Mark Johnson.
Thank you, Charlie. McLean County, as we have just recently released the county budget today, and you can check out a story on WGLT's website to see the efficiencies that we have been able to maintain. McLean County is seen as an example around the state. Other counties look to us with how that we handle our business. After 4 years of being on the board, I see that our efficiencies and the staff of the McLean County administration, who have well over 30 years experience, at least with our county administrator, they are ones that will look to find each and every penny in budgets to the point to where we will find ways in which if we need to transfer funds from one area to another, given that we don't want to run shortfalls, then that will be
a
priority.
But thank you, Mark.
Thank you.
Your time has expired. Ryan Scritchlow, you're up next.
Thank you. How efficient our county government is? If you had asked me this question 14 months ago before I was on the county board, I would have probably said there's a lot of waste. It's government. Having now been on for a year, I've realized that our county government is incredibly lean. Lean to the point at which I've helped department heads move furniture in the government center. So it's so lean that we won't even hire movers. So I really think that after the state pulled some money from us last year, we were able to keep the tax rate the same. I think we are a very, very lean unit of government. Thank you.
And Sharon Chung.
Thank you, Charlie. The budget was just released today, and I believe that the taxes are staying somewhat level or even just a little bit lower. I haven't had a chance to review the whole budget yet. But I just, like Ryan actually did say, the county government actually does operate on a very lean sort of level. We are able to give whatever the state mandates us to do. But I also really believe in giving the highest quality of services to our constituents, hopefully within this lean budget.
Thanks, Sharon. Dave Selzer, what do you think about the efficiency of McLean County government?
Well, just a brief history. You know, when I got on the board originally, John Zunick was our administrator, then Terry Lindbergh, and now Bill Wasson. All three of those men have done a phenomenal job in making sure that the resources we have go to the programs that are necessary for us to have. I've also been very proud to chair the Finance Committee a number of years ago and also currently chair the Finance Committee. The 2011 current county property tax bill for a $165,000 home back in 2011, eight budget years ago, was $504.20. Today, at the budget that's proposed, it's $502.69. So when you look at your tax bill, your county portion over since 2011 will actually have decreased. While others have increased, county has run a very, very efficient government. So I'm very proud to have been a part of that. Thank you.
Elizabeth Johnston.
When I decided to run, I knew that this would be a big job. Taking my background into account, I do a lot of assessment. I took time and I've met with 18 different department heads in the county. I've asked them questions about their budget, their department, how they're functioning. And I've been very impressed, like everyone has said, they have done quite a bit of work. They're very dedicated staff. But one of the other things that I dug into is found that each department, well, almost every department, they try to leverage the funds that they get by getting additional funds from federal grants to make sure that we are providing high services. And those are the kinds of things I want to protect. I also want to make sure that the people of McLean County know what they're getting for the money that they're paying, and they are getting an awful lot. And so part of, I think, what we should do as the board is to make sure that we are expanding the knowledge of the voters so they understand what they're getting for their money.
And Logan Smith, the last bite at this apple.
As a constituent, I'm very proud of the work that our county administrator and our county board has done to make sure that our core government services are operating effectively with tax dollars. And I think when we put our effective tax rates up against those other taxing bodies within McLean County, McLean County Board has been working hard in a time of tax increases to keep the tax rate effectively flat and help the working families of McLean County.
And thank you for that. Here's a follow-up question, 1 minute for everyone, and we'll advance the order of the question. So let's start with Ryan this time. The effort to maintain a flat property tax rate for McLean County has had some costs. Last year, coupled with the reduction in state funding over the previous several years, there were 30 layoffs and position reductions in county government. Following the Great Recession, there was a downsizing of county government. Is the county too lean? Ryan.
I don't believe it is. Right now, we're from anytime a constituent needs something, I think we respond very well. I think our roads, county roads, are in pretty good shape. We're expanding the jail. The health department has run incredibly well. I think the county government is right about perfect right now. Thank you.
Sharon.
There was a big controversy, I guess, fight last year over the nursing home, and people were trying to shut it down. And I don't think it's a vital service for our county, for many of our residents. So I believe that, you know, if it is running too lean, I don't think that services like the nursing home or mental health or other sort of social services should be cut. So we have to try and find ways, if we have to find ways to maybe up those services or whatever within our budget, that's what I would hopefully like to see.
Dave Selzer?
Well, as far as are we running too lean, I don't think so at all. I think we've challenged our department heads to let us know if they don't have the resources, and we have, in fact, replaced resources. All of those come through the Finance Committee for critical hiring review. And I will say we've done things like our chairman appointed a blue ribbon panel for the nursing home. And that nursing home, with their administrator who's working her tail off to get this done properly, we've started to see a turn. We started to see a change in how much revenue we're bringing in. We've had some accreditation achievements that we didn't have before that now allow hospitals to direct transfer to us for Social Security admits. So all of those things are bringing it up on the revenue side. If it's lean, our department heads know we're in the budget process. They can ask us directly. They don't have to go through administration or anyone else. And we've not heard that from them yet. So I would say no, we're running where we need to be.
Elizabeth Johnston?
I agree. I think that the county does provide high level of services to the community. I would like us to make sure that we are monitoring that. Issues can come up in the health department depending on the need. We can end up with long waiting lists. So we would always want to keep tabs on those kinds of services to make sure that we're meeting that need. I know that with the current budget, the state has cut some funding for the, It was for the probation officers. And so that is something that we'd really want to consider hard before we cut probation services. Those are things where if we can keep people out and functioning in the community, it would save the county a lot of money. And I think it would be short-sighted if we cut that too early. And we want to try to preserve those services so that people can be functioning in the community and continuing to contribute to society.
Logan Smith, too lean, just right, not lean enough?
I would say just lean enough. We haven't had to disrupt services in the county, and more importantly, the county board has had to make some tough decisions as far as taxing and expenditures. There's only so much we can do when every other taxing body is increasing their tax rate. Utilities are increasing their rates for services. So overall, I think the county's done a great job of maintaining level of service as well as keeping that tax rate in somewhat of a sweet spot.
And County Board Member Mark Johnson.
Well, I'd have to defer to what Member Selzer said. Being on the Finance Committee, he has had a much more in-depth view. But in the general county board meetings that I have been able to participate in, I know that the state has caused us to become, in lean times, flexible and creative. And I believe that the department heads have accomplished that goal. And then as well, from today's meeting this morning, it looks as if we're hiring back 16 people to put back into county government for services across all county services. So it looks as if our plan to save on the short term is going to pay dividends on the long term with us being able to bring people on board. So definitely, I believe the balance is correct with what we're doing and being good stewards of the taxpayer dollars.
Our next question will start with Sharon Chung answering. The county has a large, significant backlog of road and bridge repair and consistently falling receipts from the state motor fuel tax, which pays for that. County engineers have even floated a balloon to repave some rural roads to a lower standard to save money. Would you be in favor of a county-level tax increase to fund more road and bridge maintenance on top of the motor fuel tax? Should the state allow the county to levy a county motor fuel tax, a new tax to fund roads and bridges, as County Administrator Bill Wasson mentioned today? And if so, should city residents also pay it? So at its most basic, how should county government address the road and bridge deferred maintenance issue? Sharon.
I don't really believe in kicking the can down the road to which that if the roads and bridges have not been as repaired or kept up, then we probably should attack that problem. But I do know that Mr. Wasson did say today that there was that we are about to finish a bridge project that has been going on apparently since he actually took the county administrator's position. So I guess there is some progress in that, maybe not progress as quickly as we need to see it. But I guess those are the tough questions that we would have to answer as being on the board. Anytime we have to raise taxes, we are accountable to the taxpayers, and we would have to kind of live with those decisions and make our taxpayers actually live with those decisions too. So that's something that I think that we would have to analyze more. Thank you.
Dave Selzer.
First of all, I think that I'm not fully sure I accept the premise of the question. However, I think the roads in the county for the vast majority are in extremely good and drivable condition. Could we use more money? I mean, if you have more money, you can pave more roads. So, and I'm not in favor of raising taxes. However, I would support the state giving the county authority to make that decision, each county, if they needed it for that county. I do agree with Sharon in that we shouldn't kick the can down the road. If there is a problem, we need to address it. We need to tell the taxpayers, as Elizabeth said, we have to communicate with people. They need to understand. We need to be transparent. But I think our transportation department is doing a good job, and I do think that we do have the funding to meet the projects for which we have, because additional funding would then bring on more staff and creates other issues rather than just dollars for concrete or asphalt.
Elizabeth Johnston.
As I've gone through with my background and doing the surveys with the different departments, meeting with Jerry Soakes, I understand that he has done an excellent job constantly reevaluating projects and making sure that he is targeting the ones with the greatest need. I know that he has worked very hard on that. Of course, we want to make sure that we are maintaining those roads. Those are a huge part of our agricultural department, and not the department, but the economy. That is the number one economic driver in McLean County, and so those roads are incredibly important that we maintain so that the farmers can get product to and from the market. And so I want to make sure that we are protecting those, and that this is a very serious consideration for taxes, and absolutely want to make sure that we have the voter input and make sure they understand what goes into those decisions and why it is important to maintain county roads.
Okay. Logan Smith.
I think each and every one of us needs to have a long and hard conversation with our respective constituents about how we're going to fund the future of our roads in McLean County. Nearly 90%, over 90% of land in McLean County is used for farmland. So what that equals is each and every county route is a business of, it's a highway of business. There's grain, there's cattle, they're moving. So talking with our constituents, we need to make sure that in 10, 15 years, we all of a sudden don't have good roads. We need to make sure that we've got a stream of revenue to cover those expenses.
Mark Johnson, the County Highway Department has lengthened the amount of time in cycling each individual repaving project and deferred some bridge projects. How would you address that?
Well, with anything, you have to make hard choices, and you have to make sure that you're tackling the projects that need to be addressed first. I would like to comment quickly on Ms. Chung's comment. We were finally addressing and getting rid of the last timber pile bridge in McLean County. So the comment today was made that since Bill Wasson, the county administrator, has been doing his job, we have been slowly replacing timber pile bridges in McLean County over the course of the time that he's been an administrator, and we're finally dealing with the final timber pile bridge that's left in McLean County. McLean County is the largest county in Illinois. We have a lot of roads and we have a lot of bridges, and those have distinctions of age and the different things that need to be done on them. I sit on the Transportation Committee, and I'm very proud of the work that the McLean County Transportation Committee is doing to address things as they come up.
All right,
and the
thank
most
you,
serious
thank you,
ones.
Mark. Thank you, Mark. The time is up. And Ryan Scritchlow.
I would have to agree with Dave on the premise of the question. Our county roads are in good shape. My question is would be along the lines of what are we comparing them to? Are we comparing it in the city roads, town roads, state roads, or the ideal maintenance condition for those roads? As a small business owner, I'm faced with this exact decision all the time, just not about roads. I have equipment that I have to be able to maintain and take care of. So there's limited funds, and you've got to do your best job to keep your equipment, or in this case, your roads running. And I think the county does a really good job at keeping our roads running. It's just a very tough decision, but you've got to pick and choose where you can put your funds and get the best yield out of that. Thank you.
You're listening to a special Sound Ideas and a Candidates Forum with the people running for McLean County Board in Districts 4, 5, and 7. I'm Charlie Schlenker. This is GLT. The McLean County Board has approved 11 solar farm projects so far. Another three are on the Zoning Board of Appeals docket for October. That's a total of 14 so far. Not all of those will come to pass, but some certainly will, and they all want to come to pass. The pro arguments involve increased tax base and clean energy production. The con involves taking viable farmland out of production. Where do you stand? And if you're in favor, how would you address the loss of ag land issue due to solar farms? And we'll start with Dave Selzer.
Thank you. First of all, I'm not a farmer, so taking land out of production is really something that I would have more discussions with the Farm Bureau. But I will tell you this, that when you take land out of production and you put it into a use that's going to help us produce energy and increase our EAV, it's one of the few opportunities we have as a county to increase our EAV. We're fortunate that we have wind farms that have been cropping up over the county over the last 10, 15 years, because every one of those is another piece of taxable property that's been increased, the same with the solar farm. So bottom line for me is you own that land. If you work within the county zoning and you want to do with your land what you want to do with your land, whether it's a wind farm or corn, I support them.
Lizzie Johnston.
I also support the renewable energy farms. I know that they're a huge economic driver for our county. They bring in good jobs. They bring in clean energy. There's an opportunity for us to develop a new set of industries here regarding the renewable energies. And I want to make sure that we are also protecting the farmers' rights to earn a living and provide for their families. The energy farms are able to pay higher rates, which then they turn pay higher taxes on. And so the other issue, taking it out of land use, taking farmland out of use, the Farm Bureau has found that the wind farms and the solar farms do not negatively impact the land, and so they can easily be decommissioned, provided they have a proper decommissioning plan. They can be easily decommissioned and put right back into farm use without any contamination.
Thank you, Lizzie. Logan Smith.
I'm completely in favor of solar and wind energy in McLean County, and I think that's what's going to separate us from the rest of the counties in downstate Illinois. More importantly, I don't think that when a farmer decides to put a windmill or solar farm on his property, he's taking his land out of production. He is producing a crop. He's harvesting the sun and he's harvesting the wind. While he's taking it out of traditional farm production, he is affording himself a greater sense of peace of mind. He no longer has to worry about the conservation of his soil because the wind doesn't care. He also doesn't need to worry about what the weather's going to do or what the grain market's going to do. He's got a crop that he's chosen to harvest, and he should be able to stick by his decision.
Mark Johnson, your thoughts on the solar farm ag land issue.
Well, Charlie, everyone stole all my good answers, so I think we're all pretty much in agreement on it. Even Democrat member Eric Rankin said that he believes in the free market and people being able to do with their land what they choose to do with their land. And my father was a small business owner, and I relate to farmers in that fashion. And I think that solar is a viable option as long as we can have enough sunny days in Illinois for them to become sustainable for them. So with that, that's about all the thoughts I have.
Ryan Scritchlow, solar power and the loss of farmland.
So far, based on the projects that we've had come through the county board, I've supported all of them. To the question of taking the viable farm ground out of production, we're taking it out of production of crop and putting it into energy. It from the Farm Bureau's perspective and my perspective as well, it's a temporary take. Most of these projects are set up to be 20 to 40 years. It's not like when they put a new interstate in, that is a permanent take of that farm ground. If at any point the farm ground becomes more useful to that farmer to go back into crop production, he is completely able to, at the lifespan of these projects, to roll it back into that. Farming's not an easy way to make a living, so if that farmer can see a better return on that ground and that investment in that ground, I support his rights as a property owner.
Sharon Chung.
Thank you, Charlie. The solar farms do bring in great jobs, union jobs, to our communities. And I do think, like, when you see the windmills driving down I-55, you can see that, you know, we're kind of at the intersection of something very exciting here in our county, and with progress, we're with renewable energy, green energy, and I fully support solar farms going up. And like people have said, we are still producing something here from their land, so we're producing energy. And this is something I fully support. Thank you.
Thank you, candidates. This is 89.1 GLT and WGLT.org. I'm Charlie Schlenker, and you're listening to a special edition of Sound Ideas. Some of the questions that came in to WGLT.org we're using tonight, among them this one from Sarah Breeden of Normal. Accountability has become a central issue for many voters. What have you done as an incumbent or challengers? What would you do to increase resident access to county government? I suspect this question also contemplates meeting times, among other transparency proposals. Lizzie Johnston, you're up first.
So as a candidate, what I have done, I've spent the last 10 months since I've announced my candidacy trying to make sure that people have better access to the agendas, to what's being voted on, so that they can get their voices heard before the meetings, before the votes. I write summaries. I'm posting them on my Facebook page. I'm also, for people who are not on Facebook, I do an email newsletter so that they can get their weekly recap. And they know what's happening. They're learning what's going on in county government. I would like to see the meeting times change. We're looking at county board as the only level of local government that meets during the workday, making it very difficult for people who want to attend, who want to observe, and who want to contribute. And I'd like to see that change, because I think the future of McLean County really needs to be based on the voters and what they want. And in order to know what they want, they need to be able to participate.
Logan Smith, you're up.
I would have to agree that the county meeting times need to be changed. That goes for the full board meeting as well as some of the committees who do overlap with the workday. More importantly, I think the county needs to do a better job of their website as far as posting minutes, making sure that everything's readily available and accessible. More importantly, I do believe more of the committee meetings should be streamed online, such as the full board meeting is. And I think if we take those steps as a county, we're going to see more civic engagement, better discussion, and overall more efficient government.
Mark Johnson, transparency and openness.
Thank you, Charlie. I think that the transparency of the county is making great strides. By no means is it perfect. I recently tried to message someone through Facebook to let them know, hey, here's the link to watch the county board meeting. She wasn't able to make it, and she wanted to watch it online, and she had difficulty finding it. And after I went and looked, she was having trouble finding it on her mobile phone. If you go to a laptop, you can find the link very easily down on the right-hand part of the page. So small tweaks to that effect, I think, can do a lot to help people find what they're looking for when they need it. Additionally, I was one of the only county board members that put forward a motion to move the county board meetings to noon, and sadly, my motion was not adopted.
And let's move to the candidates from District 7, Ryan Scritchlow.
For what do you do to increase constituent access and interaction? This is probably one of my favorite parts of this job. Whether it's a 10-minute conversation after a meeting, or I'm walking down the street and somebody talks to me, or I'm out on an estimate and a customer starts talking about something they read in the newspaper or something they read on Facebook, I have enjoyed it tremendously. So much so that just 2-3 weeks ago, I had a 3.5-hour conversation with a constituent at his kitchen table. It is a lot of fun. That was one of my favorite parts of the wind farms that came through, is I would set up shop at Panera and just cycle constituents through as I talked to them. It's a really great part of this job. Thank you.
Sharon Chung, also in District 7.
I also believe in changing the meeting times to a time when people can actually watch them and attend them. The 9 a.m. meeting time is not a time that's very conducive to working families to attend. And I have to actually personally say, though, even if we move the meeting times, it actually would affect me negatively, because then I actually end up working more in the evening. But I know that this is more important for the constituents and the citizens of McLean County to be able to watch this and have more openness and transparency in the county government. Because when people actually see what's happening, then they feel like they have a stake in and a say in what's actually affecting them in their daily lives. And I believe that the county government, the county board, has been able to kind of operate under the radar a little bit because of their meeting times and the inaccessibility. So this is something that I believe in, and I know that my other fellow Democratic candidates are very, very strongly believe in.
And Dave Selzer, we started this particular question on openness and transparency and public accountability with your opponent, Elizabeth Johnston. Let's finish with you.
Well, first of all, I'm all in favor of what anybody wants for meeting times. I was on the board when we changed the meeting times. I'm sure all of you remember that. We moved into the evenings. We had fewer people attend. And that's just a fact. It's not a statement of how I feel about it. I think that people have access. But we also have employees. We have employees that we have to worry about their working conditions. We have 7 committees. There's subcommittees that meet. There's the county board itself. I mean, who wants to pay for the staff to come in the evenings. And if people want to, that's fine, you know, open the checkbook. But I think it's worked extremely well for a lot of years. The agendas are all online. The minutes are online. We stream the meeting. I did make a note. I do think that there is some merit to looking into streaming some of the committee meetings, if not all of them. I mean, it's a question I have. But other than that, I do think we have access, extremely good access. I would challenge you to get the same access in Cook County or Lake County or Will County.
This is Sound Ideas. I'm Charlie Schlenker, and we're listening to a McLean County Board Candidates Forum at the Center for Visual Arts at Illinois State University. Our next question will start with Logan Smith answering it. Bloomington voters will get to decide whether to dissolve the Bloomington Election Commission. This is a municipal issue, not necessarily a county issue, but there is, of course, overlap. What do you think of the BEC, and do you think the BEC model would work well at a county level, a commission overseeing elections led by a non-elected, non-partisan director instead of the elected position of county clerk? Logan?
I think the BEC does a phenomenal job for the residents of Bloomington, and I think they should continue to do so. And I do believe that the office of county clerk should be carried out by an independent election commission, a countywide one, which would involve, to my understanding, the elimination of the BEC. But we need to make sure that we strive as a county to keep politics out of the governance of our elections. And we need to make sure that independents are running our elections and being fair and ensuring ballot access for any candidate.
Mark Johnson, thumbs up, thumbs down on the election commission idea?
Well, Charlie, I think that the voters are going to get a chance to give the feedback on what direction that we need to go. The discussion stems from when McLean County took steps to come in line with a lot of what of other county governments do when we combine the recorder's office and the county clerk's office. And that started with a referendum on the ballot to poll the voters to see what they think. I think that the voters are smart folks out there. I'm looking for input from people. And I think that if there's efficiencies that can be put together by combining the BEC and the clerk's office, then those should be weighed as well. But I resist saying or wanting the discussion to trend towards this has something to do with partisan politics, because it truly doesn't.
Ryan Scritchlow.
Thank you. What are my thoughts on the BEC? I agree with Mark. The voters are going to decide here in November, and hopefully they have a very resounding voice. As of right now, my views are elected officials should be in charge of elections. I have seen firsthand what the impact of appointed individuals is, whether my appointment to the county board or serving on the planning commission. They're not necessarily accountable to the voters. They're not necessarily accountable to people. So if we have a body of individuals or a director in the BEC that is appointed, there's not that direct answer to the voters. Elected officials should be in charge as they're held accountable directly to the voters. Thank you.
Sharon Chung.
I believe that we need a professionally run nonpartisan election commission, much like the countywide election commission, much like the BEC. If you go to the BEC website, all of their data is very easy to navigate. You can actually, filter things by whatever way you want to look at that instead of a static PDF that's on the county clerk's website. And I kind of have to disagree with what my opponent said about it being not accountable to the voters. If actually the county board would have a say in who's actually appointed, then they actually are indirectly accountable to the voters, since the voters are the ones who vote the county members in.
Dave Selzer.
Well, I live in the town of Normal, and the county clerk runs our elections there, and she's done a phenomenal job. Her predecessor, the same holds true. So the town of Normal elections have been run through the county clerk's office along with the rest of the county and done at a a great savings compared to a separate election commission in Bloomington. But that's for the Bloomington voters to decide, not for someone who lives in Normal and enjoys a great election process. As far as partisanship, when people elect the person who runs the elections, I don't know how much fairer you can get. When you appoint anything, whether it's an election commission or anything, when you appoint, you start to get political because the people doing the appointments, their politics comes through. So I'm not sure there's a good answer there. I think it's going to be political either way. But all I can say is in Normal, I think we've had great success with elections being through the clerk's office.
And Lizzie Johnston.
I agree. I'm very interested to see what the Bloomington voters will decide. Like many, many people in McLean County, I am in favor of a nonpartisan commission. I believe that the clerk does have quite a few duties under her hat right now, and that the elections can be orchestrated by a commission outside of that. I think that the unique law that was written for Peoria, for a county between 175 and 200,000 people, may actually be applicable for McLean County in 2020. Depending on what the BEC decides. If they decide to keep the BEC, then that is something that we can pursue as a county. If they decide to do away with it, then that is one hurdle that has been cleared so that we can look at a countywide election commission.
Thanks for choosing GLT and Sound Ideas. I'm Charlie Schlenker. You're listening to a special live broadcast of a candidate forum for McLean County Board Districts 4, 5, and 7, the first of several this election season, put on by GLT and the League of Women Voters. We're coming to you from the Center for Visual Arts at ISU. Mark Johnson, you're up first on this next question. Tax abatements are often used as an economic development tool. Two recent instances come to mind, Brandt Industries, north of Normal, and Rivian Automotive, both of which received tax breaks from taxing bodies, including McLean County and the town of Normal. How well do you think the public understands these abatements? Is it fair to give these industries tax breaks, especially as it concerns schools giving up revenue? Mark?
Thank you, Charlie. I'm not totally sure the public does understand the extensive nature of how the abatements work. With Rivian, for example, it's tied to actually producing results. There's hiring numbers involved. A lot of people believe that a check has been written. These people do not receive the abatement until, at least with the two examples given, these people do not receive things until there are certain improvements made to the property, which improves the value of the land, which means that in the future, as they improve the land, they will pay more in taxes over the long haul. We have to have the ability to grow ourselves economically in the county to find people who want to come here and want to create jobs. Part of that process is giving them some time to get the properties they want to invest in, to get them up to speed so that we can start creating jobs.
And Ryan Scritchlow, you're up next.
Thank you. With regard to tax abatements, what's funny about this is 14 months ago, had you asked me if I support tax abatements? Absolutely not. Government shouldn't be picking winners and losers. And then I got appointed to the county board. And you're thrown massive amounts of information, and you start to look at it and read, and you ask lots of questions, and then you figure out, so my experience is with the Brandt Industries deal, that in reality, while we're giving them a tax abatement based on the ground and what they've got to do to meet those requirements in terms of employment, we're going to end up as the county, I really believe, we're going to actually see a return on the investment that we made in that company. So whereas 14 months ago, I would have absolutely not said I would support that, having actually been through one of these now, well, okay, they actually, this particular instance did make sense, and that's why I voted for it. Thank you.
And Sharon Chung.
Thank you. I think that there are better ways to do this process of tax abatements. The Brandt deal, as far as I understand, came very quickly, and they were trying to put together this deal and this package for them to bring them to our county. I think that there need to be better benchmarks written into the proposals, possibly clawback provisions and this sort of thing, maybe even just provisions saying that they need to hire local union labor, and that was not actually in the Brandt deal. And that's something I believe that we have to, you know, protect our constituents, protect the citizens of McLean County. Dr. Daniel in Unit 5 said that he might have to have put a tax referendum in a couple years because of lowering sort of money coming to Unit 5 right now. And that's money that probably could have come from the Brandt, from tax abatements if they had not been made.
Dave Selzer, your thoughts on the economic development tool of tax abatements?
I think you have to have a toolkit full of incentive packages based on the company that's moving in. The Brandt deal was one that Unit 5 was intimately involved in and supported fully and was at the table every step of the way because they had the most to give up, if you will. Unit 5's issue with their taxes right now appears to be more of increased labor costs. So I don't think it's the incentive deal or they would have never supported it. I do think that the jobs Brandt has brought to this community is fantastic. Whether they're union or not, I have neighbors that work for the union, are employed via or union card-carrying members, and I have neighbors that aren't, but they're working. And that's what we need to focus on, is keeping the people in McLean County working in every way we can. And we need to make sure we have the toolkit available to get any kind of jobs so that we are prospering again.
Lizzie Johnston?
I agree that we need to be careful about the abatements. I do not think that people in McLean County understand what is going on with the abatements, why they're being given to these big corporations, and then they turn around and watch their property bills go up. It's frustrating for them. It feels disconnected, and they don't understand what's happening and why they're getting why these companies are getting those abatements. And so I agree, we do need to do more development. I do think we need to expand on the Be an Advantage program, highlighting all of the qualities that Bloomington Normal and McLean County have for employers. And I think we need to build on some of those strengths and not do a quick go-to for abatements, trying to lure companies here.
And Logan Smith. What are your thoughts on economic incentives and abatements?
I think we do need to take a long, hard look at how these incentives are given out to companies. I think we also need to educate these companies on who McLean County is and what we do here. We have one of the lowest unemployment percentages in the state. We also have one of the highest educated workforces in the state as well, in downstate of Illinois at least. So we have a lot to offer other than incentives, and I think we need to be on a level playing field with these companies that wish to come here with their handout. We need to make sure that they realize that we've got things to offer other than cash.
And that answer moves us to our closing statements. So we'll go continuing on in the order, which means Ryan Scritchlow will start with his closing statement first.
Thank you. Thank you again for this opportunity to come out this evening. It's been new, exciting, and partially terrifying for me. But I'll tell you too, be careful what pieces of paper you sign and fill out to join county boards, because you can go from there to here really fast. In the last year, I've had a lot of new experiences and a lot of things that kind of terrified me a little bit, but it's how you grow as a person, and it has been very, very rewarding and fun to interact with everybody. As I said earlier, it is my favorite thing to get to meet with constituents, talk with them, and see what's going on and see how I can help them. You guys have a very tough choice this November. Win or lose, you're going to continue to see me giving back to this great community that's given me so much. I just hope that I can earn your vote come November. Thank you.
Sharon Chung, your final thoughts.
I'm going to close with a few words on what I actually do for a living, and it may seem a bit outside the box, but I ask that you indulge me and follow along. I play the viola, and it's an instrument in the string family that bridges the gap between the high-sounding violins and the low-sounding cellos, and we generally play a supportive role, supporting the melody of the violins or rounding out the bass tones of the cellos. But there are moments when the viola is allowed to lead, and we do so very happily and willingly. And at the backbone of every musician's training is the art of listening. And as a violist, I am constantly listening to how my notes fit in with my counterparts in the orchestra. So in how this applies to the county board, this means I will listen to what my colleagues have to offer, and above all, I will always listen to what my constituents have to say, and hopefully we can agree upon a harmonious conclusion. I ask you to vote for your support, and I ask you to cast your vote for me, Sharon Chung from McLean County Board, District 7 on November 6th.
Dave Selzer, your closing.
First of all, Charlie, I want to thank you and WGLT for providing this forum. It's very, very important that we have these forums that are well-organized to get the message out to the people of McLean County. I would ask everyone to continue to vote for me. I've appreciated your support over the last number of elections. I hope I've earned your vote, and I hope that if any of you have any questions at all, please feel free to call me. You can find my contact information on the county website very easily. And like Ryan said, too, though, no matter what happens at the polling place in November, I'm not going away. I've continued to give to this community at every level, and I will continue to do so for as long as I have breath. So thank you very much.
Lizzie Johnston.
I want to thank everyone for coming here tonight. I have worked very hard over my campaign to be the kind of candidate that I want to vote for, to be someone who comes in, does the work, connects with the voters, somebody who is willing to put in the effort. I want to thank all of my team, my family, all my supporters. They have been amazing. I would not be here without them. I am ready to work for McLean County, and I am ready to, because I believe in what we have, and I believe in a future that is sustainable and one that we can all succeed.
Logan Smith.
I would like to again thank everyone for being here. Win or lose in November, I plan to be fighting alongside constituents of McLean County to make sure that this county is a great place to live in. This county raised me, and elected or not, I'll make sure that this is a great county for generations to come.
And County Board Member Mark Johnson, the last word goes to you.
Well, first off, Charlie, I have to say that I thoroughly enjoyed Ms. Chung's closing statement, and I think in the future you need to ask us all in the future, if we were an orchestra instrument, which would we be? I personally was a trombone player, and I sometimes am loud and brash, and anyone who knows that about me knows that that's true. I got a lot of Scott-Irish in me. I am glad that we're all here tonight to talk about these issues. It's important. And I guess all I can say is that even though I might be loud and brash, I have a servant's heart, and I've enjoyed being on the county board the last 4 years, and I look forward to anyone who wants to give me feedback on issues that face McLean County, things that you're involved with, either you're in the 4th District or not. My email is adfocus@gmail.com. I will take any questions that you have, and look forward to talking with more of you in the future. Thanks.
Thank you, candidates, for participating in this live on-location edition of Sound Ideas and McLean County Candidates Forum for Districts 4, 5, and 7, co-sponsored with the McLean County League of Women Voters. WGLT.org is where you can find this episode of Sound Ideas with help from broadcast technologist Travis Metters, digital director Ryan Denham, development director Melissa Liebert, events and outreach director Linda Healy, program director Mike McCurdy, the McLean County League of Women Voters, including our timekeepers tonight, Diana Haumann and Phyllis Versteeg. They deserve a round of applause. And, of course, Illinois State University, one of our hosts for tonight. I'm Charlie Schlenker. The election is November 6th. Thanks for attending and listening, for contributing to public discourse and civil dialogue about our government and its role and the issues that face it. Please vote. This is WGLT Normal, a service of Illinois State University.
Why Public Radio? During this upcoming fund drive, we turn to GLT contributing listeners for answers.
Hi, I'm Norris Porter.
There are a lot of answers, but also some common threads. It's fact-based. It's an avenue for lifelong learning, and it's local.
What I'm looking for is unbiased, balanced news. I want to know what's going on.
What's your answer to Why Public Radio, and will you financially support GLT?
Join me with your pledge now. Go online to WGLT.org.
GLT is made possible by Illinois State University, the first public university in the state of Illinois. Since 1966, Illinois State has partnered with listeners and local business underwriters to bring you this public radio station. More information at illinoisstate.edu and wglt.org.